The trouble with my mic a little earlier reminded me of this past week. As many of you know, Jen and I were with the Duke Divinity School event up in Sea Island. And, you know, Duke folks are a lot more liturgical than my background. And they have phrases that they often will say that, in fact, you know, they begin often with, "The Lord be with you and also with you." Some of you from Episcopal background or Roman Catholic, I think that's often said, "The Lord be with you and then also with you." So this guy got up and he actually had a little trouble with his microphone, the speaker, and he was fumbling with it, and he said, "Something's wrong with this microphone," and they said, "And also with you." The scripture lesson this morning is from Jeremiah and Matthew. Two very sort of different approaches, different places, but any given Sunday we all come from many different places. And this is sort of a challenge to God of what's going on. You will be in the right, O Lord, when I lay charges against you. But let me put my case to you anyway. Why does the way of the guilty prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them, and they take root. They grow and bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouths, yet far from their hearts. And Jeremiah is asking, what in the world is going on in the world, God? And then from Matthew, Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount in this way. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. Then the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's word. The title of the sermon today is Roundabouts and Straightaways. Now, the word roundabouts brings lots of emotion to lots of people. Somebody said, I'm interested in this sermon because my wife hates those things, those roundabouts. Sometimes you don't know how to get in and how to get out of them. And sometimes you just keep going around and around. There are different ways that this community and every community is trying to slow down traffic. Sometimes those traffic tables and other kinds of things. I'll tell you why this image of roundabouts and straightaways came to me as a sermon title. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But first, let me reiterate that I'm very excited about the emphasis this January and February on holistic health, well-being, vitality, exercising and eating right, sleeping enough, and getting emotional renewal, mentally challenging ourselves and engaging in the spiritual disciplines of daily prayer. Some of you are taking this accountability thing too far. I came into work one day and came to the elevator, and there was a sign on there, "Dan Johnson, you may not use this elevator. The stairs are right here." Someone reminded me, or emailed me, said they were walking their dog last Sunday afternoon in a park where there usually aren't very many people, and that Sunday they saw lots of Trinity people out walking. I was pleased to hear that. I figure collectively, we probably lost already 1,000 pounds. That's pretty exciting. Although I have to admit, mine has tapered off a little bit. Someone shared they're starting a devotional life for the first time in a long time. I think that's exciting. Someone really shared they're really trying to do something each day to engage their mind. Then last Sunday, through Wednesday noon, as I say, Jan and I were guests at the Cloister in Sea Island. Most of our conferences are not at such nice places, but Duke and Lily funded it, and the food was out of this world, and I was just happy to maintain and not gain. Partly it helped knowing I was going to have to report in to you. Sunday night, Jan and I had a conversation with a couple who are deeply, deeply committed Christian people. They are, I don't want to tell you too much. I don't think there's no way you would know them, but Six months ago, they had a tragic loss in their family. A tragic loss. And of a family member. As I said, I won't go into too many details, but they opened up and were very honest about this, how hard it's been. They were still in some shock, still in some deep grieving. And in their honesty, she shared, "You know, when I read the Bible, I sometimes feel it's not really true. The promises in Psalms, I don't believe them anymore." And we were happy to be hearing and letting her share, because we knew at the end of the day, she has a rock-solid faith, but she was sharing, "I don't believe it anymore." She said, "I was away at a conference and my husband got sick and had to go to the hospital, and I started to pray, and I said, there's no reason to pray. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. It doesn't do any good." The next day, as Jan and I were walking on the beach, I turned to Jan and I said, "You know, if I were these persons, if I were now where we, Jan, you and I, were 4 years ago, I don't think I'd want to hear the sermon series I'm doing now. It just wouldn't be in my frame of reference. I'm not too keen on doing this, 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 and this. I'm just barely surviving. I'm on a roundabout and don't know right now how to get off." And that's why this image of the roundabout came. Sometimes we're at a place we just need some time. Whatever's going on in our life, we need some time to just go around and around and around until we recoup some energy. And maybe some of you are there right now. I honor that. I value that. We're all at different places, and I honor where you are. A few days ago, Thursday, I believe, I was visiting Grace's sister, Irene Koss, in the hospital. Grace has not been able to swallow for many months, been on a feeding tube. Grace is tired. Irene is tired. And she's now in hospice. She made the decision to not go through much of this any longer. And she wanted to ask me, "Dan, do you understand?" I said, I understand. You have my blessings." And then Irene, in their great honesty, and that's characteristic of Trinity, she said, "And besides, Dan, this sermon series you're doing just doesn't cut it with me." She hadn't heard it, but she evidently, Grace, you had talked to her about it. I don't know. I mean, I can understand that. I mean, it's just not where Irene is. And I honor and value that. She's on a roundabout. She wanted to hear, "Is it okay for me to decide what I'm deciding?" I said, "Irene, bless your heart. God loves you and you love God. And yeah, it's okay now to go on." So roundabouts. Some of us are there today. It's okay. Honor that. I value that. While I continue to push and encourage others of us, the rest of us, to engage in a program of developing these really good habits that will serve you well in your lifetime, to begin walking, to do daily devotions, to practice doing these habits. It takes a lot of practice. It takes doing them repeatedly. That's why Jesus concluded his Sermon on the Mount by saying, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine," and my translation says, "puts them into practice." Not just hearing, but puts them into practice. It's like building your house on a rock. We are 95% habitual activity. Doing, doing. We become what we do. We are creatures of habit. 95% of all behavior is automatic. Very little choice. So the key to living well is to develop good habits and good practices and good rituals. Put them into practice. Come back with me for a minute to the image of the roundabout, but in a different way than what I just used. Take the insert, if you will. We're creatures of habit, if you would take that out. As I say, 95% of our behavior is automatic. If you look down the left-hand column, let's just spend some time with that. Do we sometimes complain much or criticize others? Engage in negative self-talk, cynical, disengaged, have no devotional plan? Do we run on empty emotionally? Do we reinforce negative patterns about exercising? Express sarcasm, which is veiled anger. Not get enough sleep routine. On and on and on. If we do those things, we're on another kind of roundabout we can't get off. We just go in circular motion, and it leads to sort of a non-victorious, self-defeating. It's like a foolish man building his house on sand. It will not support us. It's like a roundabout. I remember years ago, college preacher David Siemens, a friend of Jan and mine, lived in India for many years. He told a story I'll never forget. Made a big impression on me. He talked about a merchant in an open market who was selling pigeons. And he had a stake in the ground, and one of their legs was tied to a string and tied to the stake. And so they would go round and round that stake. They'd just go walk around and around that stake until somebody bought them. And he noticed, as a child, I don't know how old he was, that all five of them had been bought. There was one left, and so he bought it and set it free. You know what that pigeon kept doing? It kept going around and around that circle. Because he had built that into his habitual life. And that's what we tend to do. That's what we tend to do. He bought it to set it free. His theological point was, in new life in Christ, we are set free. Set free. Jesus said he came to set us free. When we say yes to Christ and receive his forgiveness, we don't need to keep repeating these habitual sorts of things. Habits are huge. What we put into practice grabs a hold of us. I believe it was Winston Churchill who said, "We shape our buildings and our buildings shape us. We shape our habits and our habits shape us." They're self-reinforcing, so subtle sometimes, often we're not even aware. Now, the list I've given you, I hope you'll spend some time with it. It's not exhaustive. Hopefully, it'll spark an awareness. If you have the courage, I would invite you to ask someone you trust, Do I? How am I perceived? What's going on as you understand me? Do I engage in some negative self-talk? Do I, on, ruthlessly honest? On the other side of the column is good habits. And they will accelerate you like on straightaways, out of the roundabout. If you celebrate a lot, use words of affirmation, engage in positive, on and on down the list, it will propel us into a life. Scott and Michelle shared earlier about, Scott shared about his financial habits that were destroying him and were threatening to destroy their marriage. They met here at Trinity. They were excited to be married. They were enjoying life, but she had an awakening like, oh my word, who have I married? These habits. He's a wonderful guy. These habits of his are going to destroy us. And so you can imagine her thrill when he came aware of and reoriented and engaged in other kinds of habits and his enthusiasm. We each have an emotional and spiritual well that we come to life with. The things on the left of our list will deplete our well. They will. They'll just suck the water out of the well, our emotional reserves. The things on the right will fill our well. So that when we come to life in crises and situations, the well will be full when we need the resources. It's really important to develop the rituals, consciously repeated behaviors in service to our mission in life, what we're about, who we are, who we are. Look over the list and which side describes you and who you are. My friend Jim Harnish was also at this event that Duke and Lily put together at the island up there off of Georgia. Great friend, an excellent preacher. He gave the devotional talk on Wednesday morning. And he told his favorite story of the elder George Bush. You may have heard this story. I don't know if it's true or not. He indicated or implicated that it was true. When the elder George Bush was president several years ago, he visited a nursing home or a place where many people had lost many of their mental capacities. And President Bush leaned over to one man and said, "Do you know who I am?" And the person didn't quite hear him, and Bush said, "Do you know who I am?" And the person went like this, and he repeated it one more time. "Do you know who I am?" And the person said, "No, but if you ask one of the nurses, she'll be able to tell you." Look over the list. Who are you? Be ruthlessly honest. You're a child of the living God, bought with Jesus' life and sacrifice. Set us free. Now, our joyful task is to reinforce His grace with good habits, renewing rituals of our lives. I began this morning by mentioning the couple who had such loss in their family. And persons who just might not be where I am right now. Our daughter, Siobhan, didn't tell me this. I'm surprised she didn't. But she said to Jan the other day, "Is Dad going to keep preaching on this exercise and stuff again and again? It's getting old already," she said. It's not quite where she is. I understand. A few years ago, as I say, I was far from this. My point today is, wherever we are, whether we're on the straightaway of life, just going 100 miles an hour, all things are clicking, or we're on the roundabout and we're not sure how to get off, part of the beauty of the body of Christ is that we come together. Isn't that good? Widely different places we come together out of the cold, but a place we call home, the church. We're accepted. We're loved just for who we are. We hear each other's story, then it's okay. It's more than okay. So I want, as your pastor, to do both things this morning. Push some of you really hard. Look at yourself. Engage good habits. And others of you, I want to put my arms around you and say, "It's all right. That's where you are, and that's fine. That's fine.